Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for tuning in to our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. But why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world? Bomb Cyclone Thursday. That's right. It is Bomb Cyclone. Bomb Psycho. Yeah. How about Bomb Cyclone Snow Blizzard 2018 Totally Driven Radio Special Edition. That's right. Bay Ragney here. How's everybody doing? Happy New Year, everybody. We are, we're still on break. We are enjoying the break. We're prepping for 2018. We're working on lining up new guests for the shows and just a lot of fun. A lot of fun hijinks. And bringing you a total driven world of entertainment. So we're going to do that tonight, but it's going to be taped. So I hope everybody is having a great holiday vacation. I hope everybody's been having a happy new year. I hope everybody have a Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and all that fun stuff. But it is technically over. And actually, I did this interview before the Christmas break. And I figured tonight would be a perfect time to do it. To break in 2018, and it's with a guy, and his name is Fran Kranz, actor, and we talked about the movie he was promoting that he did, which is a super funny, just fun romantic comedy movie. It's called The Truth About Lies, and you got to check it out. It's really just had a constant smile on my face. It really did. And Fran is cool dude. And he's done a whole lot of other things, and he's been in the entertainment business for a little while, and he's done let me just run through some things you might remember him from. Something that we talked about in the interview that he's really known for was the TV show called Dollhouse, where he played Topher Brink. And it was funny because I remember doing the research for it, and a lot of people had a lot of, like, dedications, like on YouTube and stuff, to Topher. So we talked about that. He did a lot of one-shots here and there on a lot of shows. Like, his first real job back almost 20 years ago was on Frasier. I mean, iconic show. Most recently, he did the movie, which is a huge movie, called The Dark Tower. You might have heard that one or saw that one. He also did a show that we've had a lot of people on. He was on four episodes this past season. And it's their final season, Major Crimes, and we just had Philip Keane on a couple weeks back on Totally Driven Radio, and we've done actually three or four specials with Tony Dennison of Major Crimes, so we kind of keep that whole Major Crimes thing going with Fran Kranz. But the main reason that we talked to Fran, like I said, was about this movie called The Truth About Lies, and it is a romantic comedy, and it's about a guy who's down on his luck. A lot of things going wrong in his life, and ends up falling in love with his new boss's wife, which he lies his way into a job. And next thing you know, things happen. I don't give it all away, but there's just a lot of lying and a lot of covering up, which leads to just implosion of things. So we're going to talk to, you're going to get to hear our interview with Fran. So, you know, normally I would probably end up taking a commercial break, but this week it's only one interview, and we're going to roll commercial free this week. So I'm just going to give a quick shout out to a couple of our sponsors, good friends of the show, Ontario Street Comics in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and also the one and only, Check this out. We have a superhero who sponsors our show. We are that damn freaking good. Yes, we are. And his name is Black Man. That's right. Comedian, funny man, superhero. ChrisFraleyPresents.com. Check him out. Be prepared to laugh. So without further ado, let's get right to it. I know you're tired of hearing me talk. You need to hear me talk some more as I talk to Frank Kranz. And here he is.
And there he is, Fran Kranz.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm sitting here. I'm in New York City right now doing a play off Broadway at the Public Theater.
Oh, cool. I'm
got
not
a
too
few
far
hours
from you, man.
Before
yeah,
I have
silly.
To go on stage. What's up? Oh, yeah, right on.
You're going on stage when?
No, I got a few hours. But that is
okay.
Sort of what it is. That's sort of the actor's theater life is just a kind of countdown from when you wake up to when you go on. It's kind of a funny, funny lifestyle.
you know, it's funny because as I was going through and like doing my little research on you, you have to kind of be happy, I would think, to like see that TMZ only like discovers you about your SAT score. There's like no dirt on you.
That's right. You know, I remember someone mentioned that to me because, you know, you don't necessarily always know who's behind the camera or which camera, you know, what cameras for what, you know, outlet or whatever. And I believe I was doing press for this movie, Murder of a Cat. Great movie, by the way. Underrated movie. Yeah, you know, you get a lot of people just sort of shouting things in your face. I was working with Nikki Reed, so everyone was really interested in her. And then, yeah, there's one guy with a camera in the middle of all these other guys, and he's like, hey, is it true you have a 1600 or whatever he said? Yeah. And, yeah, it was funny to learn that was on TMZ. Yeah, that's not bad. That's not too bad. And for the record, I did not get a 1600. not yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That is so funny.
I just heard recently that they're not even SATs anymore. There's some other test that made me feel really old. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. They got another name. There's another scoring system. Kids these days, you know, just totally out of touch, you know.
They're changing everything, and they're trying to change money to bitcoins now too. So they're just changing the world.
Right. If I had taken the test today, I would have gotten a 1600. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've never taken a test, so I probably would get nowhere near 1600.
Avoid it. Yeah.
So you know something else I came across too, and I don't know if you've ever seen this. Like, have you ever like done a search for yourself on YouTube, and then you find somebody did like a tribute or video to you, character?
I think one of the the thing that like actors are probably most ashamed of and try to help support one another to not go there is the Google search. You know, that's like a dark place for an actor to sort of just maybe if you're down on yourself late at night, if you had too much to drink or you got like a pint of ice cream and you're on Google looking at yourself up. Yeah, it's a sad place to be. I've seen some funny things. Yeah, I've seen some really really funny things. I know IMDb has like their whatever fan page or notes or what's it called? There's a much more simple name for it. It's just escaping me. But yeah, some I've definitely gotten like most annoying actor in the world. who is this guy? I know because I've done a lot of work with Joss Whedon and he's got some real real passionate fans. And I remember as soon as Dollhouse started, there were just all these kind of things online ranking the actors. Just like, I'm like,
wow,
this is so intense. It's like after one episode, everyone's like 1 through 10. And I was like consistently at the bottom. But I will say as the show went on, I remember working my way to the top. And then and now I feel like I'm sort of a beloved character in that universe on that show. But yeah, I've seen some funny things on YouTube, seen some really unfortunate Google images, like Nick Nolte worthy Google images. and it's not even a mugshot. It's just like me, it's just like me hanging out. And it's like, oh no, the, you know, what's the matter with him? But yeah, no, it's funny. Yeah. But I think a lot of that stuff is come, you know, you should just, I feel like just be grateful it's there, you know, and it's not about like any publicity is good publicity, but I guess it's even dumber than that. It's just the fact that you're working, you know, you should be lucky that montages exist, you know?
Well, there was this one who really, she put this, I'm thinking it was a female. She did this tribute, like, of all your best scenes from Dollhouse. And then I read the, usually, like, when you read, like, comments or the description, like, I mean, some of these people are just, like, the ugliness of hatred comes out and all. But it was so nice and loving, you know. And I have to read this for you. I don't know if you've ever heard this one, but
she said,
oh, my love for Topher Brink is insane. How adorable is that little sociopath in a sweater vest? I'm not even kidding when I tell you that I am obsessed with Fran Kranz.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Even sociopath is somehow flattering. Yeah. No,
isn't it?
That's great. That's great. Yeah. No, you know, I mean, that was the beauty of that that role. I mean, that show, that's an underrated show. I mean, I think that show was ahead of its time. You know, we're seeing the success of Westworld today. And personally, I watch that show and I'm like, man, this is so much like Dollhouse. This is so much what we were doing. And this is not a criticism of Fox. It's just, I think at the time, you know, we didn't have cable streaming outlets and content that we do today.
Right.
I think Dollhouse, you know, the people wanted to be on network television. This is where you brought things before a Hulu or a Netflix. And so I think today, if it was on a streaming outlet or a cable show where it really was allowed to sort of breathe outside of the parameters of network television, which, you know, not necessarily a bad thing, it's just what they are, I think Dollhouse would have been a whole other thing, a whole other level of success. But yeah, that role, I think the Joss, you know, he stuck with that role. He was sort of committed to kind of, you know, sticking to his guns about who Topher was, and he was kind of a slow burn. Because like I said, I think people were really, you know, put off by the guy, and he's just what an annoying, you know, like you said, like she said, he said, whoever that was, sociopath. But at the end of the show, you know, you feel like incredible kind of love for the character and his like conflict and moral dilemma. It became such an interesting character, I think, because it was grounded in so many negative traits. You know what I mean? That the humanity became so much more impressionable and impactful later on when you sort of discovered that. So that was a real gift as an actor.
That's awesome. Now how about, like, I mean, like right now you're doing this off Broadway, and you've done these other movies and shows where, you know, either they're romantic comedies or thrillers or drama or horror. Like, which do you like really see yourself being happiest or think that you shine the most?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I fell in love acting. You know, you're in high school and college, and you get to do so many different things. You know what I mean? You're playing characters totally age inappropriate, right? You know, everyone's like, I don't know, you're playing, you know, Shylock and the Merchant of Venice, and you're like 16 or whatever. You know what I mean? And so that,
right.
That's kind of the beauty of school. But because of that, I think as an actor, I'm speaking for myself, you enjoy doing different things. You feel like you are good at doing different things. And I've always felt like I was a really sort of versatile actor, and I feel like those are my strengths. And so I believe I can go back and forth between drama or comedy, theater and film, and they fulfill me in different ways. And that's why ideally, you know, the ideal career would be to bounce back and forth and sort of always be able to kind of flex and work those different muscles and creative outlets. I mean, with The Truth About Lies, it's a romantic comedy for sure. And the character Gilby, you know, sort of this main character is this kind of pathological liar and deadbeat. The so much of the beauty of this role in this movie is that anything was game, like anything could fly. Phil Lacco, the writer director, he really encouraged us to improvise and ad lib, because the idea being that these are people sort of struggling to connect and will say and do anything. So there was a kind of there's a sincerity and a sweetness to it, and what these people are, they're trying to find love. And then there was a comedic element, obviously, and just how absurd it is, and the things they will do and say. But it allowed, is sort of strange as this seems, like it really sort of, for me, was a nice blending of genres and sort of skills to sort of be able to kind of improvise in a romantic comedy, both like aiming for laughs and truthfulness, so it was a really satisfying, fulfilling experience. Yeah, I think people will enjoy it, and probably regrettably relate to more than they care to admit,
you know it's funny, because as I was, why I watched it last night, and I was even saying to myself, like, for quite a few lines, I'm like, I wonder if that was ad-libbed. Like, because it just seemed like,
yeah,
it just flew off the cuff. And one line especially, I said to myself, I got to know. After your apartment burns down, and the fireman is telling you, and then he just stops and he says, do you want to sit in the fire truck? I was like, that had to be ad-libbed.
Yeah. Yes, that was. And man, dude, he was so fantastic. And now I need to like get on IMDb, because he deserves a shout out right now. Because yes, absolutely, that line was improvised. And yeah, I mean, that was, the beauty of Phil is, there's a lot of writer directors that are very precious, with their work, right? And and as they should be, right? But I think Phil recognized the importance of this movie feeling authentic would be to allow some room for ad-libbing and all that. But certainly that line was such a fantastic sort of button, on the end of that scene. And yeah, he was great. He was fantastic.
Now, how about the scene when you go into the yoga class for the first time? How long did it take you to shoot that, to get you to stand on your head?
Oh, I know. Well, it's funny, because we were with the studio, we were shooting inside the studio itself, and then kind of in that lobby or whatever. So we had the earlier part of the day to be able to shoot another scene. And so between takes and stuff, there was an instructor, there, it was a real yoga studio. And she was teaching me a handstand, because, I've done some yoga classes, of course, and sort of was not like completely unfamiliar. But no, I'm not, like, when it gets to that part of a class when everyone's like doing a handstand or up against the wall, I'm just like sitting, resting, like collecting myself. and so, yeah, I practiced with her for a while. And so that was basically what it was. You know what I mean? It was like I was able to get up there and just like fall down. And she was, encouraging me to fall in a safe way. And then, I did the best to do that. But, it's funny. You talk to stunt guys, and for the most part, they're always just like, you just have to do it. We're just willing to get hit. We're just willing to fall. It's not a secret to it. It's just like, we'll take the pain,
it's going to hurt, Chris, no matter which way you try to do
Chris
it.
Chris LaPonta is the name of the fireman. Chris LaPonta. Let's give him a shout out. He was fantastic.
Now, how about, it's funny too with this movie, because it is a nice, once I read the summary of it, and before I even watched it, I was like, oh, this is going to be funny. And then you watch it, and it's kind of hard, because you don't, picture yourself rooting for the guy who's the compulsive liar who's trying to steal somebody's wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's absolutely, and I think, it was a tough thing to commit to sort of, be sort of stubbornly, adamant that like this is who your protagonist is, right? But I think, and not to take it all too seriously, but there's lying is sort of unique to human beings, right? It's part of the sort of condition, and how we relate to one another. We've all been guilty of it, and I feel sort of sprinkled the movie with these title cards from all these kind of famous, thinkers over the ages, and who's all in there? I forget, Mark Twain or Socrates or whatever, and they're all sort of commenting on lying, and just a kind of reminder that this is something that we do, just period, we do it, So not to sort of forgive, or not that it at all sort of, it makes his behavior okay, but it's sort of the reminder that we are complicit and guilty in this kind of behavior. And so every character in the movie sort of does their share. You know, it was important that no one was two-dimensionally good or bad, that everyone had, you know, some part in the sort of absurdity that takes place, because the movie's beyond this kind of love triangle. You know, there's like, you know, six different people sort of involved in this kind of messy, it's like a hexagon, of love or whatever, you know, everyone is sort of a big mess at the end. And so, yeah, a kind of reminder that this is something that we do in our, you know, exhausting effort to sort of connect and find love and relationships or sex.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, how about working with Odette? Because I mean, on screen, I thought you guys were like, there was just such a connection there. I thought it was just great.
Well, I told Phil, you know, when first, you know, the nature of independent movies, you don't hang out necessarily a lot beforehand. I was shooting a movie in California. I think she was working in LA, in New York, or her husband Dave was. You know, I don't know. Somehow, you know, we just meet right, the day before we start starting shooting. And I told Phil, I was like, this movie is not going to work. Odette Annabelle is way too good looking for her to ever be with me. This is absurd, blah blah blah. So I walked into it being like nervous, and this is going to be terrible. And she is so damn funny. I mean, she is so damn beautiful also, but she is so funny and so down to earth and such a cool girl that the chemistry was just there. You know what I mean? We just got along.
Right.
Everyone in this movie got along. Mary Elizabeth Ellis, Miles Fisher, Adam David Thompson, Christy Antopoulos. I mean, there's a really, really fantastic comedic or just talented actors in this movie. But Odette, yeah, I think she really honestly makes the movie work. It could have not worked had she not had not just the comedic chops, but the sort of the groundedness, the sort of authenticity to make that role work, to make a woman like her, let's just leave it at that, be with a guy like Gilby. You know, it took a real talent to pull that off.
Yeah, it was like a small part of the movie, but it was an important part of the movie too, that really helped build that relationship and that bond. To me, watching the two characters, was the whole situation over the search for your father.
Oh, yeah. And it was a great performance there. Arthur Nascarella, who's been in everything. And, absolutely. I mean, again, you know, as big as the movie gets, it's kind of almost, farcical comedy at times. You know, it's like it gets really big and broad and absurdist, but there's this groundedness, which again is really that sort of need for connection, that kind of search that human beings like want to connect, you know, whether it's with a lover or partner or friend or a father figure, a parent, a mother. You know, there's this relationship with Colleen Camp, the mother that's so conflicted. And I do think, you know, that's nice that you pointed that out. I think that's really insightful, because it's that feels, maybe often feels secondary to the movie, but in fact is probably, if anything, makes the movie successful, is that underneath all this, there's something that everyone will relate to on a real sensitive level, you know, no matter what your relationship with your parent is. So searching for this father and the kind of missed opportunities there, it's obviously done in a comedic way, but there's definitely something truthful about it that I think gets a lot of, it definitely like fosters a lot of sympathy for a character that's otherwise mostly unsympathetic.
Now, the funny part, or maybe even scary part, to where I bonded with a situation or an item, I should say, was in your mom's apartment, the phone. Because growing up,
wasn't that great?
That was the phone.
That was the phone
in my house.
Yeah. Even as kind of ornate and ridiculous as all that, because I had the rotary for sure, but I had just some like brown plastic one. Did you have like a really absurd looking one like that?
That exact one.
That's crazy. Well, I hope we didn't steal it. That's really funny, man. Yeah, we saw that. That was one of the, you know, again, it's sort of the nature of independent movies is sometimes so many things are happening at once. That's just one of those sort of you know, kind of lucky, you know, the happenstance that happen, you know, occurs where you're on set, the art direction team, the production design team, they're working away, you're busy rehearsing or whatever it is, and then you get on set and you see this thing, and you're like, this is such a great, this is such a great prop. And we didn't, it was not planned, it was not in the script, so once we saw it, we knew we had to use it, had to get a joke out of it. So yeah, there's the whole, we suffer through that moment of Gilby, you know, spinning each number, and it's just great. I feel like it's a joke that really lands, you know. We don't see those things anymore, and most of, like, the people that even remember them are just dying off, you know. So the tediousness of it, I think, is really, really funny. Yeah, no, I'm glad you pointed that out. That's really funny you had that phone. My gosh, yeah. That's like not, yeah, it's a tough thing to look manly with, for sure.
You know, it's funny because I just saw one, it's like a month ago. Me and my family were at a flea market, and I saw it, and right away, like, I ran to the table, and I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And the one receiver part was busted. I was like, son of a bitch. And because of that, I didn't buy it.
I know. I'm curious, do you remember how much they were even trying to sell it for? You know, what is that?
$12.
$12. $12, yeah. There you go. $12. Broken receiver, yeah. Yeah.
Too funny. So, Now you guys actually filmed this 5 years ago, am I correct?
Oh my gosh, I hope it wasn't that long ago. I don't think it was that long ago, but it certainly was, because I know we went through, there was two phases of post-production. Yeah, it was at the Santa Barbara Film Festival, at least maybe a couple years ago, a year or two ago. So it's been it's definitely been a long road. But my gosh, my experience, independent movies now, or movies in general, I shot The Cabin in the Woods, I think, in 2009. That didn't come out till 2012, and that was a studio film. So I mean, it can take a while for a film to get out for a variety of reasons. But honestly, this one was because Phil knew he had something special, and he was determined to work at it until he was satisfied. You know, so I know I'd seen versions of this movie that we all felt could be better, you know, and it was, because editing really is, there's really three phases to a movie. It's a script, it's photography, and it's editing, and they can be so different in each, you know?
Right.
And so I think we, you know, everyone knew that there was a solid, fun, great little movie here. And so they just took their time with it. But now it's rolling out in theaters all over. It's on demand, Amazon, all that. So it's definitely, it's really funny. It's really fun. So much talent in the movie. So yeah, you got to check it out.
Awesome. So all right, now where can we send everybody to find you and like you, love you, follow you, support you, and find out more about this movie and the other movies you're up to?
I'm so bad at you know, I need like a life coach or a social media coach to get my act together. I am on Twitter. It's at Fran Kranz. And, you know, every few years I go on and say hi to someone. But no, I need to do better. But honestly, I really like to connect to my fans that way. And I've definitely been known to direct message fans in order to coordinate whatever. I just gave away some tickets to some fans for my play. I'm doing a play at the Public Theater right now called Elyria, a new play by Richard Nelson. Kristen Connolly from Cabin in the Woods is in it. John Magaro, oh, cool. Will Brill. There is an incredible cast. And I have a movie coming out this spring that I also produced and I'm acting in as well. It's A Midsummer Night's Dream, the Shakespeare play set in modern day Los Angeles. Got a fantastic group of actors. Yeah, so that, we're still waiting for a specific release date, but it's spring 2018, and I'm really proud of that. And that will be in theaters around the country, so that'll be fun too.
That's awesome. We hope to come back on then and promote that as well.
I would love that. I would love that. Yeah, I'll get back to you. Yeah, I'm thinking like May. I'm thinking May for that. But yeah, definitely, that would be really fun. Very
cool.
Different movie, but fun.
Very cool. Looking forward to it. And I enjoyed this movie very much. So everybody needs to check it out. The Truth About Lies.
Yeah, please. The Truth About Lies. It's great.
Cool, Fran. Well, thank you so much, man. Hey, can I get you to cut a quick ID before I let you go? This is Fran Kranz, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Absolutely. This is Fran Kranz, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Awesome. Fran, thanks
so much,
man.
Yeah.
Take
Talk
care.
To you later. Thanks. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
All right, welcome back to Onion Radio. There you go. And there it is. And there it went. Our interview with Fran Kranz, star of The Truth About Lies. Thank you to Fran. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to Tim Binder for hooking that up as well. Great people, both of them. Great movie. Can't say enough good things about it. And you know, I'm dead serious. I'm not blowing smoke or bullshitting or anything else. It is that freaking good. So check it out. Go to the website. Get all the details about it. You can see more about the rest of the cast. Odette Annabelle, you might know her. She's the co-lead in it, starring opposite Mr. Fran Kranz. And you can see the trailer and all the details about everything. It's thetruthaboutliesmovie.com. Again, thetruthaboutliesmovie.com. So check it out. They have all the details there. They got their Facebook page, Twitter. Like them, love them, follow them. All that good stuff. And do the same with Fran. And do it for Odette, too. I'm sure she would enjoy some more likes, loves, and follows. So there you go. So thanks again for tuning in again. My name is Bay Ragney. You can find us all over the world of social media. Just look for Totally Driven Entertainment or Totally Driven Radio. Like us, love us, follow us, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or go to our website, totallydriventv.com. Or just look for me, Bay Ragney. Again, thank you. Hope everybody had a happy new year. We return live next week. Still working on a guest. I'm actually emailing with that person right now. So hopefully I'll have an announcement by later on tonight or tomorrow. And until next time, stay driven, everybody. Thanks again. See ya.